All right, well, I invite you to grab your copy of God's Word and turn to Philippians 4. And as we conclude our excursion, our study of this letter, we will look at verses 21 through 23. So verses 21 of 23 of Philippians 4, the final verses of this letter. And as we read this passage, understand that this is to God's Word. May we listen with reverent ears, reverent hearts, as we dive in. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord endures forever. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Almighty God, as we open up your word and are prepared to dive into it and be fed spiritually through it, may you give us ears to hear, minds ready to receive your word, hearts that are ready to understand the text and be convicted when need to and inspired when needed to. And have it motivate our hands into action that glorifies you, O God. We desire to glorify you in all things. We desire to praise you for all things. We desire to praise you for the giving of your Son to cover our iniquities. Praise you for the grace that we receive. Be with us, and in Christ's name we say, amen. So as we look at these three verses, these verses before us, verses that are part of the same letter that we've been studying since June, from the same Apostle Paul, from the same sacred author of all Scripture who is God, it's my desire to show that there is much to consider in God's Word in these three verses. So it's going to be divided up into two parts to help us understand. Verses 21 through 22 are the closing greetings. And then verse 23, your Bible might have the heading, Paul's benediction, or Paul's farewell. But we can simply title it, Christ's grace be with you. And we start off seeing that Paul writes to the Philippians what? Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. And let's stop right there. So this is the first part of his conclusion, and it is an instruction to who? The Philippian church. Paul wanted them to greet. And if you're one of the three that have the King James Bible on you, you will see it doesn't say greet, it says salute. Salute, as the King James puts it, every believer in Christ Jesus. I think all the other translations put greet. But it was his desire that the Philippians would warmly embrace all God's people in Christ Jesus. And this goes beyond what we do every morning here at church of the greeter saying, good morning. It goes beyond that. And the quick goodbyes, it's deeper than that. It's continuing Paul's call to have a deeper relationship with Christians, have a deeper fellowship amongst the brethren. There was to be no favoritism in the midst of the congregation. But for every saint in Christ Jesus, there was to be a kind affection for one another. Regardless of whether one was rich or whether one was poor, regardless of whether they were a new babe in Christ, a new believer, or mature in the faith, regardless of whether they came regularly or perhaps members of that congregation, or they were first-time visitors, regardless if they are officers of the church or not, that's pastors or deacons. This is what Matthew Henry writes, he, that's Paul, desires remembrances not only to the, to, he calls it bishops and deacons, okay, we'll say pastors, and the church in general, but to every particular saint. Have remembrances. Greet every particular saint. And Paul had a kind affection to all good Christians. And therefore, Paul is trying to say, this kind of affection is to be shown by every Christian to every Christian. You see, Paul began his letter, how? Greeting all the saints, all God's holy people, in Christ Jesus, who are in Philippi. While he does mention the overseers, which are the pastors and the deacons, he does so for they are with, they are part of the Philippian church body. Paul here in 4:21 goes beyond the boundaries of the local church and essentially says, greet not just those saints in your local body, but those who are outside of it as well. In showing this being practiced by others, Paul continues and delivers greetings from people outside of the Philippian church body. He says, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. By the way, here are some saints in Christ Jesus practicing this. The first being the brothers who are with Paul, greet them. This includes brothers in the Lord that we have read about already, like Timothy, who is mentioned in the very first verse of Philippians, Paul and Timothy. And again in 2:19, this is, again, let me just refresh you. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I too may be cheered by news of you. This might also include Epaphroditus. I have sent it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier. Although with the sending to you and other context is suggested that he was sent over to them and is one who delivered the letter to them. Therefore, he wouldn't be a brother currently with Paul, but at the point where he was with the Philippians. Here's the letter from Paul sent by, given to his sending church, Epaphroditus' sending church. There are also the multiple brothers who were emboldened to preach the gospel without fear, as we see in 1:14. But then outside of the letter, the brotherhood grows bigger when we see in Philemon, which was written in the same time that Paul was in Philippians. We see Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. All these, not just Paul, all of these brothers were sending their greetings as one does with their family, Lord willing, with warm affection and a deep embrace, Lord willing. Similar to our affection for our siblings by flesh and blood, we are to have affection and even more so have it for our adopted siblings in the family of God. Like, think about if you've ever had a family reunion. How many times there's like, oh, you're so-and-so. I haven't seen you for years. What's going on? Like, that's blood relationship. How much more so for the adopted brothers and sisters in Christ? Of course, the greetings go even bigger than just the brothers, as it was not just them, but the second greeting includes all the saints. Beginning in verse 22, all the saints, every believer, greet you. Who's you? The Philippian saints. All the believers that make up the church in Rome send their greetings. Those who make up the visible church body are doing this. And then, this is a great part here. It includes even members of whose household? Caesar's household. And while households back then included spouses, children, relatives, it also included servants, probably slaves. And this is what many believe is what is being got at here, Caesar's guard, the Praetorian Guard. So Paul said previously in Philippians 1:12-13, regarding how his imprisonment has served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. It's become known throughout the whole Imperial Guard. So when we read this, keep in mind it could be dependents, all his slaves, or the Imperial Guard. It could be all a mix and match of them. Whoever was in the household, this is Paul including them as saints in Christ Jesus, who are illustratively waving their hands alongside the fellow believers and sisters in Christ, the brothers and sisters in Christ in Rome, to the brothers and sisters on the other side of the empire in Philippi. We need to understand the impact of that. Wait a minute. Those are brothers and sisters over there too? Understand that the emperor at the time, Nero, who we see today as one of the worst persecutors of Christians in ancient Rome, when you read Caesar's household, have in your mind that this is a household of he who kills Christians, who tortures them, who uses them as a scapegoat to get what he wants. To be a Christian in this household would have been dangerous. Yet there are believers still in that very household. In the social, culture, orbit of Caesar, the most powerful leader at this time, whose actions kill Christians, there's Christians there. And Paul singles these Christian brothers and sisters out with the word, especially a testament that even in perhaps what would have been considered by the people of God to be the hardest of soils for seed to take root, God has made it so that, oh, there is seed that has taken root. Even in the vicinity, living day after day in the lion's den, the saints greet the Philippian saints. And Paul says all the saints, including the brothers as well, as those you would least suspect. So these are brothers that go, oh, I would never suspect that. But here they are, my kinfolk. They were fulfilling what Paul was desiring, for which was every saint in Christ Jesus to embrace, like a brother or sister, every saint in Christ Jesus. Every saint greeting every saint. Every saint in Christ Jesus warmly embracing every saint in Christ Jesus. Every brother and sister of the Lord having an affection for every other brother or sister in the Lord. Three times greeting is mentioned here. And such repetition highlights for the Philippians and for us the importance of such fellowship amongst the people of God. So Christians, us, we need fellowship. We need to be greeting one another. We need to have an affection for each other. It needs to be found in the local church body. God's word in 2 Corinthians 13:12-13 tells this to the church. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. Beloved, how can we do such things if we're trying to be lone wolf Christians? How can we greet one another if we're not near one another or close to one another? How can we greet another, show this affection that Paul is desiring for, that God's word is telling us we should be seeking for, affection between every believer, if we're not around other believers? And I don't know what the reasons are, nor what they all could be, but I know this. The call to show such mutual love amongst the people of God has tied with it the putting aside of what? Self-interests. Putting on humility and desire to grow in love. Let me just remind you again. We just read this. Let me read it for you again. Philippians 2, 1 through 4. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, by the way, there is. Any comfort from love, there is. Any participation in the Spirit, there is and should be amongst the brethren. Any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind. Unity there, by the way. Having the same love, sameness, being in full accord and of one's mind, togetherness there, right? Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Oh, I don't want to talk to anybody. I'm just going to be quiet and just be the curmudgeon in the back. Do we get that from this text? Thank you. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also the interests of others. How do you know what the interests of others are if you're not around greeting them, having an affection? So ask yourself, is my lack of mutual love for other believers in Christ Jesus born out of an attachment to self-interest? Am I lacking in the love department, in the showing a warm embrace for other believers out of a self-interest motive? Is my pride blocking me from extending the hand of fellowship? Am I, by my actions, revealing that in my heart I have no love for the brethren? How did that work? Well, we can say a lot about, yeah, I love my neighbor, I love the church, I love the people of God. But what do the actions say? So for 2026, I hope there was a conviction in your heart that you will begin, if this is an area that we need to work on, to not neglect your relationships with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Take the time to show up, period. Take the time, if we're talking about the Sunday, take the time to show up early. Take the time to show up early so that you can spend time in fellowship. Hey, I haven't seen you in a while. It's hard to have those conversations because you might be opening up a whole can of worms when there's only 5 minutes before the service. And then leave late so that you have opportunities on the Lord's Day to love on them. And go beyond small talk. You know, this is something as a pastor we have to catch ourselves sometimes. Going, yeah, the weather today, huh? Ask deeper questions. And get this, invite over to your house your brothers and sisters in Christ for a meal if you're able to. If you have a house, invite them over for some fellowship. Invite them over for a meal. Invite them over that night. If they have a flexible schedule yourself, going, hey, we just met each other. You're a believer. Or we've known each other, but you've never been to my house. Come over to my house this Sunday night. Or during the week. Give them options so there's no running away. These actions, beloved, can help cultivate a deeper relationship where it's not hard for us to greet one another. Help develop a stronger relationship of standing side by side with the people that we warmly embrace, a relationship that goes beyond just the 4 hours on Sunday. And another thing to remember that this passage is not just the local congregation in mind, but all Christians. That means we not only greet the brother or sister who has been coming to our church every Sunday for the last 30 years. Like, hey, you get the pass now. You're not worthy of me saying good morning. We also embrace, like a brother and sister, the newcomer who is new to the faith or is not a new believer but is visiting our church. Embrace them. Hey, you're new to the faith. Tell me, how did you become a Christian? Do you have a Bible? Oh, let me get you one. Have you ever visited a church and not have a single person come up to you, introduce themselves, and start a conversation? Now, have you ever been to a church where before you even sat down, you've had 3 people come up and welcome you? Come up and spark a conversation and show a desire to hear about who you are. Welcome to our congregation. What brings you to the area? I haven't seen your face at Don Pedro Market or the Dollar General. You're nude in town, aren't you? Which one is Paul going to say, yeah, that's the one that's understanding my words to the Philippians? That is the one who gets it. And you might be thinking, well, I don't have to do it. That's the pastor's job. Isn't that the greeter? Isn't that Merle's job to do? Or Bob or whoever is doing the greeting that day? Isn't that whatever to make it so you don't have to do it? To answer, let me just say this. Paul could have said, overseers and deacons, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. Period. Full stop. But he does not. He does not. He is addressing the Philippian congregation, which includes the pastors and deacons of that church. And this is not an exhortation that is exclusively for the two offices of the church found in Scripture. It is involving the whole church body, all of us. We are all involved in this. And Paul even doubles down by saying, all the believers greet the Philippian brothers. Here's an example of it happening for you, Philippians. So say we have someone who comes and joins us on a Sunday who is from the farthest area from us. They might not even speak the same language as us. But they are a believer in Christ as their Lord and Savior. Do you understand that we have more in common with him or them, he or she? That is a member of the family of God who we ought to greet, get to know, have a fellowship with. Welcome to the area. Welcome. The Philippians had at least this in common with the members of Caesar's household. Paul mentioned that they were all believers. So that is a commonality that they share. You are a Christian. I'm a Christian. Let's talk about that. Sure, there are a slew of other things that get attached around that, that we could be at polar opposites on, but you both have the foundation, which is Christ. You can talk about each other's testimonies. What church are you a part of? Oh, how is that church doing? What is it like being a Christian in your neck of the woods of the world? And so on. Those are just examples, but I hope you can see how easy it can be to start up conversations that go deeper than the weather with brothers and sisters in Christ. It goes deeper than, I don't know why I'm saying golf swing, right? Goes deeper than sports. It should be easy, just as it should be easy to converse with family. If we are humble, if we are loving, and if we remove self-interest, you'll see, oh, it's actually very easy. Beloved, may God cause our hearts to be ones that don't shrug, but with joyful anticipation, we seek not just to greet every saint in Christ Jesus, but we seek opportunities to greet every saint in Christ Jesus. And then make no mistake that Paul does go further. Make no mistake that Paul is talking about one group of saints sending greetings, showing affection and warmth to another group of saints. This is a mutual love between the congregation in Rome and the congregation in Philippi. And whether we are talking about the individuals that make up a single church body, or we are talking about individual church bodies, we are talking about the corporate unity of believers. So therefore, we should be greeting, we should be warmly embracing, we should be praying for other churches made up of saints in Christ Jesus. And one of the things that I know I want to do and help us to do in 2026 is to continually reach out to churches that we are associated with. in the Central Valley Southern Baptist Association and see what we as a church can be praying for them for. Greet them. In the past, you have heard me pray for the needs of the association as a whole. I tried to start up again this morning for Patterson. But we should be reaching out ourselves to the individual churches as well, going, hey, this is the prayer update for so-and-so church. Here's the prayer update for Snelling. Here's the prayer update for Denair or Delhi. They send us prayer requests and updates with their warm greetings. Then we send our greetings. We send our prayer requests and updates. And I hope that in doing so, and I hope you'll follow along with us, that it builds a deeper relationship. If we don't know someone, it's difficult to build a deeper relationship. But when we start to hear what's going on and hear about ways that we can pray and what are some praise reports, that builds a deeper relationship with the sister churches we have voluntarily cooperated with. Such relationships can be encouraging. Can they mean that you need industrial strength Tylenol sometimes? Yes. But it can be encouraging. I mean, think about the encouragement it would have been to the Philippians to hear about the gospel work in the church at Rome. That there are brethren who are like them, hand are on the gospel plow, and then they are hearing about the fruit being cultivated. Think about how much of an encouragement it would have been to hear that the gospel has gone into the ears of the guards and others, and it did not return void. An encouragement it would be that the gospel had softened their hearts, made those who were once dead in sin alive in Christ, even in the most hostile of environments. How many of us are encouraged when we hear stories such as actual, legitimate Christianity growing in China? How many of us go, that is the work of the Lord there. Praise be to God. And then we hear about Tanzania. We hear about all the other. Our association does stuff with Guatemala. How many of you praise the Lord that in even in areas like the cartel-owned areas of Mexico, well, gospel missionaries sometimes have prices on their heads, that the gospel is still proclaimed. And people are coming to the Lord. How do we receive that news? People reporting back to us, sending their greetings, sending their affection. Such news is important for congregations to hear and take part in rejoicing in the Lord for. Giving thanks that his grace continues to flow like the mighty ocean that we know that it is. And it is our Lord's grace that is mentioned in verse 23 here. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. And while the ESV is perhaps more accurate, there are another translation from the New King James that says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So I think that gets to the heart of what the passage is trying to say. This is Paul's hopeful desire for the Philippian believers that the grace, the unmerited and undeserving favor of the Son of God would be with them. He began his letter with the words, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And now he concludes with, perhaps we could say it is a prayer, that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with them. He ended it where he began, a sort of grace sandwich. And these people have already been called saints in Christ Jesus. They've all already are saints in Christ Jesus. They already have experienced the grace and mercy of our Lord, being believers in Christ Jesus. Paul had said they were all partakers of grace with him in Philippians 1:7. And to be justified is to have partaken of mercy and grace. And now as God continues to work in these believers' hearts through sanctification, hoping that they will be more less self-interested, be more humbled, do a work, have our spirit-empowered striving to hold fast to the word and having our manner of life be worthy of the gospel that is to be done, knowing that such things are an undeserved gift from God as well. Paul's reminding them that in every stage in the Christian life, every stage, from first belief to daily endurance, depends on God's grace. It is Christians who ought to know that, and not only have we experienced grace, that's past tense, but that we are experiencing the Lord's grace every moment of our life. And Paul rightly concludes his letter with such words. Again, the grace sandwich. He concludes his letter with such words as a petition that they may continue to have the Lord's grace be with them, ending with his desire known that the free and undeserved favor of God in Christ, with all the fruits and tokens of that grace, might be conveyed to them all. And as the New King James puts it, amen. And that amen's like a stamp. May it be so. Stamp. Send it out. So, beloved, recognize, believe, every part of your life has upon it the unmerited favor of God. Even in the midst of trials and suffering, God's grace can still be seen. Even in the midst of indwelling sin, even in the midst of our hypocrisy, we are shown mercy and are given grace, and that we are not immediately struck down, slapped in the face for such foolishness. That we are not immediately struck down, which we deserve, and the Lord does still sustain us, which we don't deserve. I ask, are you living in such a way that acknowledges and gives thanks day in, day out, morning and evening for the grace of the Lord? Are you giving thanks for the grace of the Lord? You see, we might often trick ourselves in such a way that will remove us giving thanks to the Lord by saying that we deserve the grace. It is merited for what we have done. Even worse, we start to remove that it is from God and simply say it comes from me and me alone. It is mine and no one else's. Or, I have pulled myself up from my own bootstraps to get my own thing. I don't need the grace anymore of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks, but I got it from here. God's word reminds you that no. Full stop. No. It is but for the grace of God and not your own making. Understanding that helps you realize that you are not in control. How many of us need daily reminders? You are not in control. God is. God is and has filled your cup so full of mercy and grace that it is overflowing. Such understanding, such a conviction of heart that comes from that truth changes how we operate. Take the time in prayer to give thanks for God for his amazing grace. It is by his grace that the most stubborn and prideful men or women, us, I, the chiefest of sinners, is transformed into a humble servant that says, wherever you lead, Lord, I will go. transforms them into one that thinks about the interest of other believers before their own. Transforms them into someone that wants to know about the interest of other Christians. Wants to know what is going on with the Christians over here and the Christians over here. Transform them into believers who are willing to go shoulder to shoulder, side by side, and to the foxhole with not just the mature believer, but the new believer. They want to be in the foxhole with fellow believers. The spreading of the gospel would not be possible if it were not for the grace of God. Caesar's household would not be converted if it was not for the grace of God being with them. The brothers and all the saints in Rome sending their greetings would not be sending their greetings. It would not be such an encouragement, nor it might have never happened if not for the grace of God. And Paul being alive even, was grace shown to the people of God that he might minister to them more. All of that has the touch of grace to it. All of it is grace, grace, marvelous grace. Okay. It is all amazing grace. And I hope that we who make up the believers of Lake Don Pedro Baptist Church, we saints of Lake Don Pedro Baptist Church, we desire to be like the church in Philippi and in Rome in greeting every saint in Christ Jesus. And if we fail in doing so, may the Lord's grace open our eyes to areas where we are failing, as according to his word, and see by his grace how we are to grow and improve. May we not be afraid in greeting one another as fellow believers. Have that warm, affectionate connection that draws us to closer relationships in the church, deeper relationships with sister churches, as well as causing us a desire to disciple others. And that affection will have us have a deeper care for each other. And offer correction when needed. Deep connections help us extend grace and look past small things and also be willing to handle the bigger things when they arise. We don't flee when issues arise. Show grace as we have shown grace. Show grace as we have been shown grace. Seek after a life that recognizes the amazing grace of the Lord and how that which was once the sin that held you in the mire of discontent no longer tempts you, but by the grace of God, it has been removed. We want people to be given the mercy and grace of God that we have been given. And if you're here and you do not believe in Christ as Lord and Savior, as someone who desires to see the mercy and grace of the Lord, don't wait a moment. And this is just for those this is not just for those who've been here for the first time, you're here because your family's dragged you, or this is the 100th time that you're hearing a gospel presentation and it has not hit your heart yet. You need to hear that the Lord has grace-filled redemption. His grace is sufficient to wash away the foulest wretch, and his mercy removes our chains to sin. It is our prayer that the Lord's grace will be with you. It is said that what is to be at the center of every congregation that makes up the church is to be he who we are the bride of, and that is Jesus Christ. And it is his grace. It is that union that we have in Christ which leads us to have this familial unity we have with all believers, and a desire that all the brothers, all that are here, those who are yet to be believers, become part of the family of God. So we talk about how great the grace of the Lord is, the mercy of the Lord. And it is he who the people of God join hands and proclaim and rejoice that Christ, God our Savior, has ransomed us. For that we give thanks, and that should be at the tip of our tongues when we greet each other. The grace of our Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we ask that this church will continue to be a bastion of gospel light, that we will talk about the gospel, that we will communicate the gospel, that we will be people that will desire to hear about the gospel work being done with our like-minded brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, give us a heart for the gospel work and the knowledge of the gospel work, that we might be in prayer knowing what work is being done. Lord, may we grow in our numbers and with the people who are coming, that we will have hearts to continue to reach out and greet and get to know them, not just as someone who has visited, but someone who is quite possibly a brother and sister in the Lord. And if not, they are someone that needs salvation. Lord, may the Spirit empower us to do such things. And as we sing our last song, may we consider your grace. In Christ's name we say, amen.